Hello, and welcome to the Friday show of Adamo Baseball, where I'm your host, Adamo. And this week, we had not one, but two no-hitters in 2 days, making this six for the season. For the modern era of Major League Baseball, the record is 7, whether you choose to not use 1900 or 1903 as the beginning point of the modern era, in this context does not matter, because it's still 7. In 2012, 1990, and 1991, there were 7 no-hitters in each of those seasons. And in 1884, so pre-modern era, there was 8. So, if there's one more, the record for the modern era is tied. And if there's 2 more, the all-time record is tied. And if there's 3 more, which the way players are hitting this season, don't be surprised, it's the all-time record. Be great to see if a perfect game sneaks in there somewhere, but I just have to wait to find out. But Spencer Turnbull of the Detroit Tigers made Seattle the first team to get no hit twice this season, and then Corey Kluber the next day made the Texas Rangers the second team to get no hit this season. So, yeah, that's always liked Corey Kluber. Not necessarily in a Yankees uniform. However, the Yankees definitely needed that, and I'll get to that in a minute. It is nice to see a Detroit Tiger being able to get some, get a no-hitter, because it's the first time the Tigers have had a no-hitter in a decade, and it's the first time the Yankees have had a no-hitter since 1999, when David Cohen threw a perfect game. So, getting into this week, or this past week, if you will, starting off, as always, with the American League East. And first place, the Boston Red Sox at 27-18, 9 games over 500. And if they win tonight, they maintain sole possession of first place in the American League East for 6 straight weeks. Going into this season, I did not think they would lead the division 6 days. So that certainly makes me very happy. And they've been playing really well of late. I mean, you look at their last 10, you say, 5-5? What? Well, their offense is just lighting it up. And they're looking to win the series against Toronto. And it turns out that spring training site in Dunedin, Florida, I finally heard them say it on TV when watching one of the games. Turns out that's a hitter's park. So Toronto's probably not going to be happy to leave when they are forced to go to Buffalo next week. No, 2 weeks from now. I think it's June 1st. Yeah, June 1st. Second place in the division, the Tampa Bay Rays, 26-19, 1 game back. The Rays are on a 7-game win streak, and it seems almost impossible to beat them right now. Don't be surprised if they're able to take possession of first place in the division. Seriously, they can do it. And, yeah, I mean, they've owned the Yankees this year. That's like the one team that they've legit just destroyed. If they can if they can maintain playing like this against the other teams in the AL East, then they could overtake first place. Don't be surprised if they do. And third place, the New York Yankees, 25-19, game and a half back. So up until the other day when Kluber threw his no-hitter, he walked one guy on a four-pitch at bat. That's the only base runner for the whole game. Up until that point, the only pitcher in the Yankees rotation that had been pitching well at all was Gerrit Cole. Kluber just hadn't found his form yet. Well, they've been needing another pitcher to really pick up the slack, and it looks like Kluber is finally getting back to that Cy Young form he's had for, past few years. So for the Yankees, they need him to continue pitching that way. Their offense has been good over about the last three-ish weeks. They're still not exactly a great offense. It really does come down to how well can they consistently hit going forward, though it does look like they're starting to hit their stride. In fourth place, though they're not necessarily playing like a fourth place team, the Toronto Blue Jays, 23-19, 2.5 games back. They did just lose the series to the Red Sox, but Toronto has been playing very well. Like, their bats have come to life. On paper, you wonder how they're only 4 games over 500. They've been playing like a team that's better than that. Now, I watched the game the other night, or at least part of it, and Hyunjin Ryu was pitching like Ryu, like the Cy Young contender with the Dodgers. He's actually doing what you expect him to do. Don't be surprised if Toronto starts making runs too. Look out. Their offense is coming. Or their offense has come alive, and especially in that park. And their pitching is pretty good too. Or at very least, their pitching's gotten better. I should say that. Steven Matz has not pitched as well as he had been last month, but their pitching's getting better. Then in last place, sorry to say, the Baltimore Orioles, 17-26, 9 games out. So I wanted the Orioles to finish at least fourth in the division so that they can continue the trend going in the right direction, et cetera, et cetera. Last couple of weeks have been pretty harsh for them. I'm not using the projections for thinking where they're going to finish. I think that they're going to hit another stride. I think that they're going to play pretty well, probably sometime next month. If they can just get back to playing 500 ball, that's all they really need. Because they just got swept. They haven't been good. John Means is still doing John Means things, and Trey Mancini has found his swing. He's finally not striking out all the time, which matters. So maybe they'll get it put together. Maybe not. We'll find out. The AL Central, which has its definitely has a couple things to talk about, specifically with the team in first place. With is this still the case? No, it is not. However, with the best team in the or best record in the American League, and with good reason, the Chicago White Sox, 26-16. So they've come under fire a little bit over the past week. Yermín Mercedes hit a 3-0 pitch over the center field wall off of a position player when the White Sox are already up 15-4 in the ninth inning. The unwritten rules of baseball say just take the pitch. you don't need to rub it in anymore. And apparently Tony La Russa, their manager, felt that way. So he publicly said that, which is always a bad move. Mercedes' response was, dude, he threw me a cheese. I hit it. And the Minnesota Twins didn't exactly respond well to that. I'll get to their response when I get to the Twins. Honestly, I don't have a problem with them swinging away. You put a position player in to pitch the ninth inning, and it went, or the pitch I think itself was 46 miles an hour, which means he can only throw 45 miles an hour faster than me. Honestly, you gotta be ready for any result, regardless of the pitch count. I hate that whole unwritten rule thing. If you're playing Little League or, you know, even high school baseball, okay, I get it. Because at that level, you're still trying to build respect. You're still trying to do the whole, like, look, the guy's got a perfect game going into the ninth inning. Don't screw it up. You're at the major league level. You got to play all nine innings. You got to play the whole game. I mean, in football, they have a saying, you got to play the whole 60 minutes. The point is that you can't just assume that the other team's going to follow the unwritten rules. It's annoying that we even have to have this debate in the first place. So I'm perfectly fine with him swinging away. I don't have a problem with it. You want to disagree with me? Fine. I don't care. But moving on to the team in second place, the Cleveland Indians, 23-18, 2.5 games back. Admittedly, I haven't watched as much Indians baseball. That being said, the fact that they're still 2.5 games back of the Chicago White Sox is pretty impressive, because the Indians really aren't hitting. They have legit been no hit this year by Wade Miley. So the fact that their pitching staff is good enough to keep them in the division race up to this point, that's pretty good. They keep playing the way they are. So they're not like in one of the wild card spots, but it's near the end of May, so we really don't need to delve into that too deeply. However, for this point in the season, they're still in it. That matters. Third place, the Kansas City Royals, 20-22. Following that massive losing streak that they had, they've been playing 500 ball. In fact, they're on a 2-game win streak right now. If they continue to play at or close to 500 ball going the rest of the way, it's a successful season. I did an episode on Mike Matheny 2 days ago, and I think that if the Royals can continue to play the ball that they have, at very least over the last week, then okay, there's really not anything wrong with that, per se. They need to play better against their own division, because they're 9-16 against the Central. And you're losing to your own division, you're not going to get very far. So, yeah, they need to pick up the slack there. They got a winning record against the East, the West, and the National League, so yeah, beat the teams that know you. In fourth place, the Detroit Tigers, 17-26. Same record as Baltimore. They needed Spencer Turnbull to throw that no-hitter so bad. They just swept Seattle, which is something Detroit sorely needed. I mean that. They're not hitting. They're giving up a lot of runs. I still expect them to finish on the bottom of the division. As it stands right now. They could pass the Royals, but I don't see it. I mean, they're 9.5 out of first, and frankly, I don't see that getting better. I don't know that I really need to hit that too much harder. I just definitely want to throw a good thumbs up at Spencer Turnbull. Good job. And in last place, I know I'm not alone when I say this, I did not see this coming, the Twins, 15-28. They're 11.5 back. They just won a game. So the Twins' response to the whole Yermín Mercedes thing, the very next day, in relief, Matt Duffy decided to throw a pitch behind Yermín Mercedes, which was essentially retaliation for not following the written rules. That was stupid. Okay, that was just a dumb move. Either A, if you care about the unwritten rules that much, just keep following them yourself, or B, just be the bigger man. The whole, you know, you come after us, we all come after you thing, that needs to die. I don't like that at all. So Matt Duffy is appealing his 3-game suspension. We'll see how that plays out. Rocco Baldelli got a 1-game suspension for defending his player. He's not appealing. He already served it yesterday. The whole situation was just dumb. I already mentioned how I felt about it from Mercedes and La Russa's perspectives. There was no reason to go after him the next day, okay? You're solving nothing. You're helping nothing. And frankly, I don't think the Twins' response was just about that. The fact that they're losing this year in a season where they should be competing for the division, and they're not, that's probably what's got them so riled up. We'll see if they decide to grow up. And moving on to the AL West, we have a new division leader for the first time in a while, the Houston Astros, 26-18. So they had, I think it was an 8-game winning streak. It was either a 7-game or 8-game. I think it was a 7-game winning streak going. They lost, and now they just won their last 2. No, that doesn't add up. Well, they did have a good long win streak going, and now they're a half game up in the division. I haven't watched that many Astros games this year, so I really can't tell you very much. They're allowing the fewest runs in the AL West, and they have the highest scoring offense in baseball. As it stands right now, they've scored the most runs and most runs per game. They scored 237 up to this point, meaning that what they're doing, at least for right now, is working. I don't know if they're going to hit a slump. I don't know if this is the real Houston. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. We'll find out. In second place, the team that had been leading the division most of the year up to this point, the Oakland A's, 26-19, half game back. So it looks like it's possible that the Astros and the A's just played each other, because Houston just won 2, Oakland just lost 2. When it's 2 teams in the division, it's usually not by coincidence. So this is just a weird thing to look at. I mentioned that I don't think that run differential is a great metric. Sometimes it is, but not in this case. They've scored 186. They've allowed 204, giving them a minus 18 run differential, and they're 7 games over 500, almost 2 months into the season. That's just weird. I've mentioned that I don't really take that stat too seriously, because it can be very easily skewed. However, when you're about 2 months into the season, it actually does start to level itself out. So maybe they are just consistently winning the close games and just getting blown out in the losses, which is possible. But I don't know, that's just weird. In third place, the Seattle Mariners. 21-23, 5 games back. And they just got swept. So I think we're starting to see the real Seattle. About 500, slightly less than that. I think law of averages are playing out for them, because like starting the season, they were hot out the gate, but now they're 500 or a little under 500, middle of the pack for the division. And I don't really see things changing that much for Seattle, especially being no hit twice already. Now, getting no hit by John Means, I've made it very clear I essentially worship at that man's shrine. So there's nothing wrong with being no hit by one of the best pitchers in baseball. Getting no hit by Spencer Turnbull, taking nothing from Turnbull. Most people can't throw a no-hitter. There are a lot of great pitchers in baseball history who never threw one. I don't think Bob Gibson ever threw one. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball history. Tom Seaver, he never threw a no-hitter. So, yeah, it takes a lot to be able to do that. That being said, Seattle being no-hit twice, it's not looking good, Bob. And frankly, I don't see things getting better for Seattle. If they do get worse, don't be surprised. In fourth place, the Los Angeles Angels, 19-25. Shohei Ohtani and Jared Walsh are still playing like all-stars. Shohei is not just the best pitcher in the Angels rotation. Without him, they might have half that win total. Their pitching staff is bad. I mean that. Outside of Ohtani, they have the worst pitching staff in baseball. It's not just stats, though. The stats do back it up. They've given up the most runs. Their starting pitching is what's truly bad. I don't see things getting better for them. And they have other news. Mike Trout is out 6 to 8 weeks. with a calf strain. When the best player in baseball is on your team and he's out, like I mentioned, Shohei Ohtani and Jared Walsh are still playing like all-stars. Outside of that, not so much. Anthony Rendon, he's played well, but at the same time, he's been hurt quite a bit this year. He was out for, I think, a week with, or I think he was on the 10-day IL because he fouled a pitch off his left knee. And then he did it again against the Red Sox. He couldn't run. And what's more, you could see it. The injury bug has got them, and frankly, it's hitting them in the wrong places. So I don't see things getting better for LA. At least not for a while. And then we're on to last place. The Texas Rangers, 19 and 27. So I remember doing the preview for the Texas Rangers. And in that preview, I mentioned that the Rangers were probably going to finish last. They're the other team that's been no hit twice this season. And the Rangers got swept by the Yankees. And Corey Kluber threw the no-hitter the second time. Kyle Gibson has done well as the ace, if you will, in the Rangers pitching staff. But I don't know if he's going to be able to hold up the whole season because the rest of the pitching staff is not good. Their bullpen is not good. Nick Solak is coming back down to earth from the offensive side. And honestly, there really isn't anything else to look forward to for the Rangers. There's just not. I don't see things getting better for Texas. So, yeah. I want to take a moment to wrap up each division real quick because I forgot to do that this time and I need to. So, wrapping up the American League East, we got the Red Sox in first, the Rays in second, the Yankees in third, the Jays in fourth, and the O's in last. Wrapping up the AL Central, we got the White Sox in first, the Indians in second, the Royals in third, the Tigers in fourth, and the Twins in last. And wrapping up the AL West, we got the Astros in first, the A's in second, the M's in third, that's what the Mariners are sometimes called, the Angels in fourth, and the Rangers in last. Now I'm going to take this opportunity to take a quick little break on my end, but right before I swing it over to the National League. Welcome back. Sorry, I got a little dark in the video. I just switched from the standing screen and switched over to the camera while it was paused and saw just how dark it gets without the light from the computer. So I turned on the kitchen light. Turns out it's a good idea to go ahead and take a little break right there. And now that I have come back, I can switch it over to the National League. And starting as always with the National League East. Okay, I've been following baseball a long time. Since I was about 10 years old, I've been paying attention to baseball. I don't know how long I've seen Sportsline do projections for who's likely to win the division, who's likely to make the postseason, yada, yada, yada. But as long as I can remember, I don't think I have ever seen almost 2 months into the season, one division where every single team in that division has at least some chance, even if it's not necessarily a large one, some chance of winning that division. The NL East, all five teams have a chance at making the division. And an even slightly higher chance of making the postseason, meaning that they don't have to win the division to make the playoffs, though probably kind of, sort of. So I wanted to kick it off with that first before I start talking about the team in first place, the New York Mets. I don't like watching the Mets play. Look, I love pitching just as much as anybody, and they've got one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. They are tied for first place in fewest runs allowed, period. The other team that they're tied with, however, has played seven more games. No, I'm not making that up. They've only played 37 games. Most everyone else has played 5 to 7 games more. Granted, one of those series is gone because of an outbreak, but there's not much you can do about that. However, the Mets can't score. They have scored a grand total of 130 runs throughout the season. They are way behind the curve. I know I just mentioned that they play a lot fewer games. Well, they haven't played that fewer games. So they are 21 runs behind the team that scored the second fewest. They're 24 behind the next one. And frankly, their bats just aren't there. They've been hitting well enough, but they're not good, okay? Their pitching staff is awesome, but outside of that, they're not a good team. In second place, the Philadelphia Phillies, who are 22-22 and a game and a half back. Frankly, the Phillies have been playing 500 ball, and they shouldn't be in the conversation for any division. They shouldn't. I'm double checking the standings right now to make sure of this. They're the only team with a dead 500 record that is in competition for their own division. They're not the only team that's close to 500, though. In fact, they're the only team with a 500 record, but there's one other division where there are teams within a game of 500 that's in competition for their division. The Phillies, it's not going to get better. It may or may not get worse. Frankly, I wouldn't expect much more. I wouldn't expect any less, though, either. They're probably going to keep playing this way, around 500 ball going forward. Third place, the Miami Marlins, 20-23, three games back, and they're the only team in the NL East with a positive run differential. Just let that sink in. All the offense that should be there, at least on paper, for all five of those teams, Miami is the only one with a positive run differential. And I was watching one of their games earlier. I found out that Jazz Chisholm was out for 18 days with an injury. He came back just as good as he was before, but he was out for 18 days. Goes to show how much I've been able to watch their games. But it's not just Jazz Chisholm. Corey Dickerson has been playing a really good center field out there, and he's been hitting really well. Jesus Aguilar has really started to catch on for them and has managed to make their offense really go. And their pitching staff is not bad. It's not fantastic, but it's not bad. So really, I've been saying this for a while, keep your eye on Miami. They may surprise everybody. Don't let Miami fool you. We may be surprised by what we see from them going forward. This year. Yes, I said that. This year. Expect great things. Fourth place, the Atlanta Braves. 20-24. 3.5 back. Again, with them, it's just painful to watch. Their pitching staff has gotten worse. Ian Anderson's pitched well enough. He's not pitching like an all-star like he was to start the season. Outside of Acuña, they don't have anything else. A week ago, they were tied for third with Miami. Now they're half a game back behind Miami. Frankly, I don't see it getting better for Atlanta. They're probably not going to. So, don't expect an improvement. I expect it to stay like this unless they can get their offense going, which their offense is statistically the best in the East. And they need to get their pitching staff in order, because it's not working. And then in last place, the Washington Nationals at 17-23, 4.5 games out. This is weird. So the Mets have the best odds at winning the division with a 73.7% chance to make the playoffs based off best division record. The team with the best percentage behind that is the Washington Nationals at 9.4. That's just for the division. For the postseason, the Nats have the second best percentage there too at 13.5. Their only real big news is that Strasburg is back from injury. Seriously. Steven Strasburg came back from injury, and that's... we don't even know what we're going to see yet. He's pitching right now, I think. We just got to wait and find out. Max Scherzer, he keeps pitching the way he is. And if Washington is not in the hunt 2 months from now, he may get traded. And, you know, there's no definitive place I necessarily would want him to go. But don't be surprised if he doesn't finish the season in the nation's capital. This is the last year of his contract. So wrapping up the NL East, we've got the Mets in first, the Phillies in second, the Marlins in third, the Braves in fourth, and the Nationals bringing up the rear. And moving on to the NL Central. This is probably the least surprising division in baseball. Outside of maybe the AL West, as far as spectating goes. First place, the St. Louis Cardinals, 25-18. Their pitching staff has really caught on. Jack Flaherty's actually been pitching pretty well this year. He's 7-0 with, I think, a 2.7 ERA or something like that. I was mentioning John Gant. I don't know if he's still pitching up to the standard that he set to start the season. Wainwright has not been good. Offensively, there's been Nolan Arenado, and that's about it. They have not been hitting all that great. And that's what I know. I've watched part of one of their games this year. So I can't do a deep dive. I can't go beyond that because that's all I really know. But they are still in first place in the Central, and I don't see a reason why that should change. In second place, the Chicago Cubs. Though not because they're good, but more by default. They're 22-21. They're 3 games back. They've been playing 500 ball. Don't be surprised if Chris Bryant gets traded 2 months from now, because the pitching staff's not good. It's aging. Most of that team that took them to the World Series in 2016 is gone. Chris Bryant really has kicked it up a notch this year, and I would be surprised to see him in Chicago 3 months from now. It's not going to get better for the Cubbies. Moving on to a team where it actually could get better, the Milwaukee Brewers, 21-22. They're 4 games out of first. So Corbin Burnes has been pitching lights out. Barely walked anybody, struck out a ton of guys. And last I knew, his record was 2-3. His record, or his ERA, I think, was 1.7. He got an ERA below 2, and he got a below 500 record. It's not your fault. The Brewers' offense sucks. That's a team that we might see get no hit this year. Most of the no-hitters thus far have been in the American League, though not all of them. The two that are from the National League were Wade Miley of the Reds and Joe Musgrove of the Padres. The other 4 were in the American League. Don't be surprised if the Brewers get no hit, whether it's by a good pitcher or not. Don't be surprised. Moving on to fourth place, the Cincinnati Reds. So, yeah, they've still got one of the best offenses in the National League. There's only one team in the National League that scored more runs, and that's the Dodgers. That's because of the Dodgers' hot start. But they just cannot stop anybody from scoring. Luis Castillo has been a massive disappointment this year. Sonny Gray hasn't been all that good. And frankly, I don't even know who the rest of their pitchers are because they're just not getting it done, like, at all. So frankly, I don't see it getting any better in Cincinnati. In fact, I see it getting worse. They're on a 4-game losing streak. I would expect that to extend. I don't even know who they're playing, and I expect that losing streak to go for another couple of days at least. Then in last place, the Pittsburgh Pirates, 18-25, 7 games out of first. I'm sorry, it's just sad. Outside of Adam Frazier, they've had no offense. I don't know if Brubaker is still pitching as well as he was a month ago or 3 weeks ago. As far as I'm aware, Richard Rodriguez is still a really good pitcher, like a really good closer. Don't be surprised if Richard Rodriguez is on the trade block as well as Adam Frazier. Because those are the two guys that have really kept them afloat this year. And don't be surprised if they're gone a couple of months from now. So I know I keep talking about potential trades. Well, outside of that, is there really anything else to bring up? And now I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the NL Central with, in first place, the Cardinals, second, the Cubs, in third, the Brewers, in fourth, the Reds, and in last place, the Pirates. Again, this is the least surprising division. Expect the Cubs, Brewers, and Reds to, well, expect the Cubs and the Brewers to jump each other a few more times. The Reds may move a little bit, but it's not going to be by much. The bookends aren't going to change. And moving on to the NL West, starting with the team that's still surprising everybody, myself included, San Francisco. Still in first place, 28-16, mostly because no one can hit on them. They've been on a long road trip, and they've won five straight. Because I remember a week ago I was talking about how their home record was 14-4. This week, their home record is 14-4, meaning that they're on a road trip right now. They've won five straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And it's looking like Sportsline is starting to believe in them. Because while their division odds are still low at 14.4%, their postseason odds are now 77.4%. Coming into the season, it was like 3. So, yeah. That pitching staff in San Francisco is for real. It has kept them in this season. Honestly, I'd say their pitching staff is better than the Mets. If DeGrom continues to stay out, don't sleep on San Francisco. If they keep pitching they keep pitching the way they are, they may pitch themselves to a division crown in a year that no one was expecting anything out of them. Again, myself included, I'm willing to admit that. The team that I think is most likely to be able to knock them out of their jive, in second place, San Diego Padres, 27-17. They're only one game back. They have given up the fewest runs at 138, tied with the Mets, except that the Padres have played 7 more games. They're on a 6-game winning streak. I didn't know that before doing this. They won 6 straight. What I did know is that Fernando Tatis, Will Myers, both tested positive, and Profar was a contact, so he had to sit out for a few days. And I think they had 2 more players go down, and they still won. Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, I think Chris Paddock has it as well. They have kept that team going. And frankly, don't expect the Padres to slow down. They are playing up to the standard that they set for themselves. All their players are back. Don't be surprised if San Diego keeps playing at this level. I don't expect them to win 6 straight and 9 out of 10 constantly the whole season. But expect a lot of 20-win months going forward. In third place, the LA Dodgers, 26-18. Their big news is that they signed Albert Pujols, and yesterday Pujols got his first home run with them. I think in his first game he had a single and an RBI. So the Dodgers' main issue is, actually their offense. Not because it hadn't been producing, but because most of their offensive producers got hurt. and they may be out for a while. So that's why they signed Pujols, which I didn't think Pujols was going to play again. But hey, looks like he's going to play with them for the rest of the year, and he may be playing a lot of first base. And if they got to play a lot of American League games going forward, he's probably going to be DHing. They're on a four-game win streak. Their pitching staff is still amongst the best in baseball. Let me rephrase that. Their starting pitchers are still amongst the best in baseball. Their bullpen has improved, though not by much. Moving on to the fourth place team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 18 and 27, 10 and a half out of first. I'm only going to bring that up this time. I don't even know if going forward it's even worth mentioning. Look, this is not a good team. Their offense has started slowing down. They're not keeping up as they had before. Their offense was the only thing keeping them in games. They've given up the fourth most runs in baseball, third most in the National League, which is saying something because the American League scores more. They're on a five-game losing streak, and I don't see the Diamondbacks getting any better. Seriously, I don't. So, I don't know what else to tell you. Then in last place, the Colorado Rockies, 15 and 29. Yep, worst record in baseball. 13 games back. I'm not going to bring theirs up again either because they're playing exactly as everyone expected. Yes, they're in a highly competitive division, but when you set a team up for failure like that going into the year, so much so that they've still only won two games on the road, what do you expect? They're 13 and 12 at home. Yay! They're 2 and 17 on the road. I don't even want to talk about the Rockies. So with that, I'm going to wrap up the NL West. In first place, we got the Giants. In second, the Padres. In third, the Dodgers. In fourth, the Diamondbacks. And in last place of everything, the Rockies. And that wraps up the National League segment. If you have anything you'd like to say or let me know about the National League in any way, you can do so down in the comments below. Or if you're listening to my podcast, come on over to my YouTube channel. Let me know in the comments below. Or you let me know on Twitter at Adamo Baseball. @Adamo_baseball1. Or just type in Adamo Baseball. It'll work. With that being said, thank you for listening and watching. Cheers until next time.